Oops. Didn't quite get it attached there. Right, so we're having a look tonight at good kings and bad kings, primarily the kings that we see in the kingdom of Israel at that time. There's quite a list of kings. Altogether, if you look at the kings that were there, the first three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, and then the various others that followed after, there were in total 43. 43, okay? So what was the situation? How did it all arise? Well, what I'm going to try to do tonight is a very, very quick sketch, okay? In 1 Samuel 8, verses 4 to 5, this is what it says. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." So there was a problem. Samuel had been a judge or a leader of Israel for quite a number of years, and it said that when he got older, what happened was he appointed his sons to follow on afterwards. The problem was they didn't follow God like Samuel did. It says that they turned aside to dishonest gain, accepted bribes, and perverted justice. Not quite the recipe for success. Not surprisingly, the people in the country said, "This is a problem." They were dead right. They came up with a solution. But the problem they had is they came up with the wrong solution. And that can be a warning to all of us. Obviously, they didn't seek God about the solution to the problem. And we need to involve God in our decisions. Now, obviously, there's a sliding scale of how we involve God in our decisions. You know, you don't sort of get up in the morning and ask God to tell you what colour socks you've got or what you're going to wear. Unless, of course, you've got fashion sense like I have, in which case you probably would be well advised to do that. You know, red socks, green trousers kind of thing. Although I did get a solution to that. Somebody bought me 10 pairs of odd socks. All right, so they're multicoloured and they never matched each other and all the things you were wearing, so no problem. But we need to involve God in our decisions. But obviously God has given us a brain and we can think things through. But even sometimes in the simple things, we've got to be prepared to listen for God to give a little whisper. A few days ago, we were out and we parked in this car park, never been in the car park before. I carry a bit of change in the car, pulled the thing down, got £2 out. I'm just about to leave and I saw 50p there and I had that little sort of prompting, take the 50p with you. Thought, well, we're all going to be there sort of quarter of an hour, half an hour. It was £2.50, but I'd got £2.50 with me, so it saved me a walk. Well, was it God? I don't know. But we've got to be prepared to listen for what God says. And obviously, in bigger decisions, we definitely need to listen to what God's saying. Because, you see, things can very quickly and easily get a lot more complicated than we anticipate. But it's pretty obvious that the people didn't listen to God. They didn't even ask him what the best thing to do, because their solution was to have a king, just like everybody else has got a king. They're getting all right. If we got a king, we'd be all right. Except this is what it says in 1 Samuel 8, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." You see, they looked at it and said, look, Samuel's sons are not following on in the path. So what we'll do is we'll have a solution to the problem. We'll have a king. But the problem was that you got the same thing, the hereditary follow on, plus the problem that you got rid of God as well. So it was a problem plus. But Israel was supposed to be different. They were supposed to be not ruled by people, but ruled by God. And effectively, they'd turn around and say, we don't want that anymore. And as the saying goes, be careful for what you wish for, because you just might get it. And God said, let them have a king. So, the first three kings. You got Saul, started good, went bad. You got David, mostly good. He had a few bad bits. Solomon started off brilliantly, and then he went downhill fast. It does tell us that he listened to all his wives and they drew him away. But he took the wives in the first place, so you can't really just blame the wives, can you? So then Israel split. He had Judah, which was Judah and a few other bits and pieces, and the rest Israel. And they each had 20 kings. In Israel, every single one of them was bad by one ranking or another. They did not follow God. They went away from God altogether. Judah had 20 kings, 10 of whom were mostly good. It depends how you sort of measure it. You know, some were sort of a little bit sort of wavery. But in general, roughly, about half of them weren't bad. The kingdom of Israel, well, they lasted as a kingdom for 207 years under their 20 kings. Judah lasted a bit longer. They lasted 333 years. So you could say that because they had the big good kings, they were able to sort of push them on a little bit further. But even so, things weren't that good. And you get the postscript after most of the bad kings, something along the lines of, so-and-so did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the ways of whoever, and they caused Israel to sin. And you get that after most of the bad kings because they just weren't following God's ways. How the kings were affected the nation markedly. Because you see, it says in that, such and such a king did this and caused Israel to go after them. They had an influence. Whether they were good kings or bad kings, they had an influence. It tells us in 2 Chronicles 19:4 that Jehoshaphat turned them back to God. The nation of Judah had been following a bad king and they'd gone off the rails. But Jehoshaphat managed to pull them back. His influence of being a good king pulled them back into the right way. His influence affected them so that they were drawn back to where they should be. And we see very clearly that the kings could take the nation either way. The kings were people of influence. The way they were, what they did, affected the whole nation. And of course, there's the King of Kings. And he doesn't just affect a nation. He affects the whole wide world. You know, you might feel in this country that we're turning away from God and everything's going heathen. And to some extent, that's true. But you know, on a global scale, that is not the case. There are more people being drawn to God now, such to an extent that there are more people who believe than who don't. In the Western world, it looks as if, you know, it's a lost cause kind of thing. But overall, globally, things are going God's way. Jesus has a huge influence, the King of Kings. But do you know something? You have influence too. You might not be a king, unless we've got some in hiding. Might not be a queen, unless you are hiding your light under a bushel. We have some people who pretend to be, but that doesn't count. But you know, you have influence because the light of the world turned to his disciples and said, you are the light of the world. The King of Kings called his disciples light of the world. And that applies to us today. He also says, you're the salt of the earth. And you know how much salt you have to have in to give it a different flavour. Not much, but it turns it around completely. You know, there was one time when Julie was making a meal and the top on the salt cellar was loose. She didn't realise it. She went over the pan, tipped it in, and it didn't just sprinkle, it fell. The whole lot just went straight in. And she dug it out as fast as she could. And she says, oh, we'll have to get something else. And me, I said, no, sort of being the tight Yorkshireman, I said, no, we'll manage. Boy, I'll tell you, no way. We had a takeaway. The amount of salt you need to change the flavour is small. And Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. He's saying that each one of us has influence. We affect. And whatever position we're in, whatever state of life we're in, we can have a flavouring to those around us. We can change the atmosphere. We can affect how people are by the way we are, because we are the salt. Jesus said we are. And he said, you have influence. We have influence. The position that we occupy dictates the amount of influence, but you know, we can never tell how much that is going to go on. I mean, who's heard of Mordecai Ham? No? Who's heard of Billy Graham? Right. He was converted under the ministry of Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham had an enormous amount of influence. I'm not saying that you're going to be involved with the next Billy Graham, but you might be. The children that you see around you can be influenced by you. The people who are around you can be influenced by you, for good or bad. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. We might not be kings, but we can have influence. Family, friends, colleagues, even strangers. We can change the atmosphere, for good or for bad, just like the kings did. We can influence through our position, however humble it may be. The question is, the salt that we are, what influence are we going to have? Are we going to follow the good role model of the good kings, or the bad role model of the bad kings? How much influence you've got is not in your power. How much influence you have is.